Hi, Dove. Yeah, I had a little bit of trouble getting in again tonight. I was trying Pal Talk Express and Pal Talk, and they both were being a little stubborn, but I finally got in. I guess we need to start trying to get in like 15 minutes early now or something. But it's good to see you all. Happy Sunday. We're having a drizzly cool Sunday here after a really warm, gorgeous Saturday. So it's that typical, I think, March type weather where, you know, it's spring one day and winter the next. We're here tonight for Holy Spirit Guides. The last 2 weeks, what we have been doing is looking at a message called Is Attack Possible? And this is actually a continuation of that discussion. Because when I first posted Is Attack Possible, not everyone was bought into what that message said. Maybe it wasn't revolutionary only to me, but to some others also at the time. And it seems like a friend of mine wrote back with kind of a rebuttal. And I took that friend's rebuttal to the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at what my friend said, and then we're going to look at Holy Spirit's response. So it's kind of a continuation of the Is Attack Possible discussion, although it's a different message. What I would like to do before we go and look at it, and I have, by the way, given you the link, but what I feel like I want to fall out of my chair. Let me scoot over. Let me get all organized here. Okay, what I'd like to do is just go to Holy Spirit in prayer. So if you all would join me, I would greatly appreciate it. By the way, welcome to Pal Talk, everyone. I see people are still coming in the room. Welcome. Okay. Oh, if I can give the link, give the link again, please. I can do that. Can you guys believe with this mouth of mine that messes up all the time that I managed to read all of NTI for Larry? It's a bit of a miracle, don't you think? Okay. Here we go. Holy Spirit, I am here in gratitude. And prayer. Prayer meaning that I have a request. My request, Holy Spirit, is that you help me to become more clear on the difference between ego and Holy Spirit in my mind, so that I can get better at listening to only one voice. Listening to only one voice, meaning, of course, the voice of Holy Spirit, is a personal goal of mine. But I realize that in order to do that, I must recognize the other voice, the ego, so that I can choose not to listen to it. If I confuse the ego with the Holy Spirit or with me, my thoughts, I will accidentally listen to it, and this is not at all in alignment with my chosen desire now. So, Holy Spirit, I ask that you help me to get more refined, better at recognizing the difference between the two voices, so that I can be absolutely clear on which thoughts I want to listen to and follow. Thank you so much for answering my request, because I know without a doubt that you will. I look forward to the learning that I've just requested. Amen. Okay.
Hi.
Hi, everyone. So good to see you guys. Put my glasses on, I'll see you better. There we go, you're even clearer now. All right. There's the link again, because I know people are still coming into the room. I'm very happy. I'm very happy, and I'm very grateful. We are so lucky to be waking up, so lucky to be at least starting to realize who we are. All right, so the message that I'm going to read is called More Questions About, is attack possible? And it starts off by me saying a friend shared some questions with me about yesterday's message from the Holy Spirit regarding attack. I am sharing a portion of her email and the Holy Spirit's answers to her concern. I trust this will be helpful to many. So first, and I used, you know, basically the standard that we use on the Peace of God and other Yahoo groups, where what she wrote has the little, I don't know what that thing is called, the little greater than sign in front of it. So here is my friend's email. I will read this first, and then we'll read Holy Spirit's answer. Dear Regina, I find this so difficult to comprehend when I see extreme expressions of attack in the world. Now, you might remember the message of the last 2 weeks, but the last 2 weeks we learned that attack is not possible, that there is absolutely no such thing as attack. All there is love. And we also know that this is what A Course in Miracles teaches, at least at the intellectual level we know it. We may not know it at a level to where we can say that we experience only love is real. We may feel that we still experience attack. But I think that probably all of us know that A Course in Miracles says only love is real. And that is what the message of the last 2 weeks said. So after posting that message again, a friend of mine said, I find this so difficult to comprehend when I see extreme expressions of attack in the world. It happened to me once again with judgment, but perceived in a different form with the messages that are shared on some forums. Even though I understand that words, concepts, and beliefs are the impetus for much of the hurt in the world, nobody died from the words that concerned me. There were brutal and incomprehensible acts against 5 people in Iraq, which is now in civil war because of religious differences, among other reasons. Regardless, there is no way that the way in which those people were killed could ever be called right. So what I am understanding from what she's written so far is, she's saying, sure, she's been attacked, like on Yahoo groups, criticized, attacked in that way. And she says, but, you know, nobody died from that. You know, that's not a big deal. You know, if, you know, it's kind of like the old sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me thought. She's saying, you know, when somebody attacks us in email, you know, it may be easy to say attack is not real. But what if, you know, you're one of these 5 people in Iraq? You know, or someplace else where someone is torturing you, murdering your family. You know, how can you say attack is not real when stuff like that is going on in the world? Okay, we're going way beyond what somebody said to me in a Yahoo group. So again, she says, there were brutal and incomprehensible acts against 5 people in Iraq, which is now in civil war because of religious differences, among other reasons. Regardless, there is no way that the way in which those people were killed could ever be called right. This is only a subset of other atrocities that are happening. Genocide in Africa. The people that suffered and suffer from these heinous acts experienced and experience them as real, as do most of us. What is an illusion? How can we ask if attack is possible? It's happening right before our very eyes. I can't look away and tell myself that it's an illusion when people are inflicting pain on others and others are experiencing it as real. Many people are losing their lives. How can I look at these atrocities with love and acceptance and with non-judgment? They're brutal and heinous acts against other people. How can it be anything but wrong? Even if I can at least count to 100 long enough now to know that I'm judging or try to forgive them because they know not what they do, they still did it and are still doing it. There is no judgment. That's what happened and is still happening. So I need to ask you the same question that I did before. So apparently this person asked me this before. Does the world look that much different when we are awake? Or do we just not see these things anymore? Well, obviously that's a question I couldn't answer, especially in November of 2006. But what I could do is take that to Holy Spirit. And so that is what I did do. Let me just check and see if anybody else came into the room. Maybe one more person. Oh, just as I'm thinking of giving the link, I see Barb asking for the link. She must be the one more person. Okay, there's the link. Okay, so now I'm going to read the Holy Spirit's answer. Answer. The world is a brutal, vicious place as you experience it. I don't ask you to deny that. I ask you to look at the world's viciousness and then ask yourself, does this make me happy? If it does not, and if you are willing to see differently, I can lead you to another way of seeing, because there is another way of seeing everything that you see now. You may ask, how can I see brutal killing as anything other than cruel? The answer is that you must be willing to see that you are wrong about what you think you look upon. You are completely and 100% wrong about what you see. If you can give me even a hair of willingness to see that this is true, I can lead you so that you will see it. But I cannot lead you without your willingness. If you insist that the way you see is the only way to see, I cannot provide the miracle of showing you that you are wrong. Now, actually, I want to pause for a moment. I will come back to this message, but I'm going to go somewhere else. You guys just stay right where you are with the message you're at, 'cause I'm going to be doing some navigating around on Regina Dawn Acres that isn't really necessary for you. I want to go to a very, very early message. This message would have been in 2004, right after I started hearing the Holy Spirit. Funny, I went right to it. Can you believe that? Apparently, Holy Spirit wants me to read this message too. I didn't really know where it was except in 2004, and I made kind of a wild-ass click in 2004, and guess what? I clicked on that message. It's a very, very short message, so I'll read it to you. But if you know anything about my timeline, then you know that I started studying A Course in Miracles in April of 2004. This message is November 10th, 2004. So I'm still a really new course student at this point. And I really ask the same question that my friend seems to be asking now. Here's the question I asked Holy Spirit on November 10th, 2004. How is it that sacrifice and unfairness are not true? How does a person born into extreme poverty, hunger, and disease have the same opportunity to know you and to love you as I do? So I was seeing myself as privileged. I had an income so that I had no financial needs whatsoever, no financial worries whatsoever. I had a nice home, a loving family. You could say I had the luxury of reading A Course in Miracles and praying. And I felt like maybe there were others that didn't have that luxury. People that were too hungry, that were too sick, that were in too brutal of a situation in the world. So I asked Holy Spirit, how is it that sacrifice and unfairness are not true? Because it seems to me that I'm lucky. I'm lucky. I'm one of the lucky ones. And there are a lot of people that aren't lucky like I am. They don't have the same chance for awakening, is how I saw it. Here's the Holy Spirit's answer to me. You have to remember that the world was made by the mistaken Son of God to hide from the imagined wrath of God. It was not made as an easy path to God. It is a firm distraction from God. And the mistaken Son of God is a willing participant in it. But also remember that it is an illusion. It isn't real. Time is not linear. Nothing is as it seems. There is not cause for sadness. Your role is clear. You must accept salvation for yourself. Forgive the illusion. It isn't real. Forgive the mistake. It isn't real either. Be happy and follow your faith. It's a very, very, very short answer. At this point, I think I'd been hearing, this might even be the second message. It is. It's the second message I ever heard from Holy Spirit. The second one. But what Holy Spirit is asking me to do, really, if you read between the lines, is to trust that I am completely wrong about everything that I think is true. To realize that the world is not here to guide me to God, but it's here to distract me from it. And if I stay caught up in the world, I'm going to remain distracted from God. My job is to focus on accepting the atonement for myself, to focus on awakening, to trust Holy Spirit more than my own eyes and ears and five senses. And then I will see. All right, now I'm going to navigate back to where you guys are. I'm going to navigate back to the exact same message. So I'm heading back to November 2006. That's where you are. Okay, I'm back to more questions about is attack possible. And now let's read what Holy Spirit is saying to my friend. And I think we're going to hear it's the exact same answer. I'm going to start at the top again. The world is a brutal, vicious place as you experience it. I don't ask you to deny that. I ask you to look at the world's viciousness and then ask yourself, does this make me happy? If it does not, and if you are willing to see differently, if it does not make you happy, and if you are willing to see differently, I can lead you to another way of seeing, because there is another way of seeing everything that you see now. You may ask, how can I see brutal killing as anything other than cruel? The answer is that you must be willing to see that you are wrong about what you think you look upon. You are completely and 100% wrong about what you see. If you can give me even a hair of willingness to see that this is true, I can lead you so that you will see it. But I cannot lead you without your willingness. If you insist that the way you see is the only way to see, I cannot provide the miracle of showing you that you are wrong. Different words, but it's really the same content. The Holy Spirit is asking my friend to give her willingness, not to be so sure, so certain that what she sees is wrong or bad. Because if she insists on seeing the world as wrong or bad, then she's not giving Holy Spirit the opening it needs to show her how to see another way. So really, what Holy Spirit is asking us to do is to continue to follow Him and to stay focused on accepting the atonement for ourselves. And in honesty, that is the greatest gift we can give. Because I think what most of us have realized now is that the illusion of the world comes from us. And as we believe the illusion of the world, as we get caught up in judging specific activities as cruel or unfair, we actually participate in the continuing appearance of those activities. Because our mind is the script maker. We're writing the script. The only way to see that none of this is true is to at least be willing to find out we're completely wrong about everything we believe and allow Holy Spirit the opportunity to lead us and show us what is true. Holy Spirit continues, within your experience, my leading you to see differently may seem to take time. How much time is up to you. The more willingness you give to see that you are wrong, the faster you will begin to see. This all comes to you based on your willingness. So one really good question for us to really ask ourselves, kind of an introspection type question, is what in the world am I insisting is wrong? Or what in the world am I insisting is needed to fix things? You know? Or what in the world am I insisting is very good because it is fixing things? You know, where am I insisting that what I see in the world is true? You know, for some of us it's around the environment, around ideas of recycling, those kinds of things. For some of us it's around ideas about illness. For some of us it's around these atrocities, warlike atrocities in the world. Child trafficking, pet abuse, family abuse, abuse on domestic partners or children. You know, many of us have these almost, we could call them pet projects in the heart. The upper heart, not the lower heart, the upper heart, these pet projects where we can get really, really upset. By upper heart, I mean ego level. Where we can get really, really upset when we see things because we think they're so unfair, they're so wrong. What we want to do is find those things within us. Where am I actually attached to seeing wrong, so that if somebody tells me everything's perfect, I might even get a little pissed off at them, you know? Where am I attached to seeing wrong? And that's the place where we want to give our willingness to see that we are wrong. If we can do that, we are really readying ourselves to awaken. So again, Holy Spirit says, within your experience, my leading you to see differently may seem to take time. How much time is up to you? The more willingness you give to see that you are wrong, the faster you will begin to see. This all comes to you based on your willingness. I must tell you that there is nothing wrong with how you see now. You need to know this because the feeling of guilt leads you to cling to how you see. You are perfectly innocent in this moment. I ask you to trust me on this fact. That's an interesting paragraph. What sometimes happens for some of us, if not all of us at some time, is that while the Holy Spirit is teaching us that we are mistaken, or wrong, but wrong in a mistaken way, not in a guilt way. When Holy Spirit is teaching us that we are mistaken, which is something we absolutely need to see, we need to see these errors. We sometimes listen to that through the ego instead of through awareness. And if we listen to the Holy Spirit through the ego, we then begin to feel guilty. You know, like I might feel guilty right now for having a pet project that, you know, I get all caught up in at an ego level. I might feel guilty right now for caring about the environment to where I get upset with people who don't recycle and those kinds of things. Feeling guilty for listening to the ego is actually not helpful, because guilt is the ego. So when we feel guilty for listening to the ego, we're just listening to the ego more. When Holy Spirit shares this type of teaching with us, where literally our errors are being pointed out, Holy Spirit is only trying to make us aware. Because if we're not aware of what we're doing wrong, if we're not aware of how we're creating our own suffering, then we can't make the choice to choose again, to choose differently. We have to see the ego before we can let it go. We have to see it. Then we can let it go. But if it remains out of our awareness, if we don't see the errors, we can't change our mind about them. So Holy Spirit is pointing out errors that we've all made at one time or another. And the most helpful way to hear this is to be grateful. Like, thank you for showing me what I've been doing wrong. Now I can change my mind. And Holy Spirit does not see us as guilty for listening to ego. That took me a long time to get. I used to really think that we were guilty for listening to ego. But we're not. Because we're perfectly free. We can listen to ego if we want to. We're not guilty for it. It's just what Holy Spirit is trying to point out is that's the cause of our suffering. Remember what he said in the first paragraph of this message is, does this make you happy? You see, listening to the ego is the cause of our suffering. Are we still having fun listening to the ego? If not, then we need to begin to make different choices. So we're not guilty for listening to ego. But it's not going to make us happy either. Now, Lisa is asking, do we need to know how or just that we see it? I'm assuming if I see an error in my mind, do I need to know how to make a different choice? Is that what you're saying? So let me see if I can imagine an example real quick. All right. I used to yell at Jasmine a lot. At least to me I did. Oops, wait, Lisa has her hand up. Let me turn it over to Lisa and let her speak, and then I'll answer her question. It'll probably be more clear then. Lisa, if you think you have the mic, I'm not seeing the mic here, and I'm not hearing you. Do you want to try again? Okay, Lisa, I'm still getting nothing from you. Sorry, go on. Okay. Well, then let me go on with what I was going to say. It's Bill's question, okay. Maybe I didn't used to yell at Jasmine a lot, but the way I remember it is that I did. And this is one of the first things I worked with Holy Spirit on, was my relationship with Jasmine. What I came to discover was a lot of hatred in me, a lot of what I perceived to be cruelty. I felt like I was very, very cruel, uncaring, unloving mom. This seemed to be the first thing I worked on with Holy Spirit. And at first, as you can probably tell by the language, when I started seeing with Holy Spirit, not exactly with Holy Spirit, more with ego. I was listening to Holy Spirit, but with ego, if that makes any sense. So at first, when I started noticing the kind of mom that I was, I felt very, very guilty for it. Very, very guilty. And that's because I was really judging myself for not being this, quote, perfect mom that I had in my head I was supposed to be. But then what happened at some point is I started hearing Holy Spirit differently. I started realizing that I was caught in a loop of like yelling at my daughter and then feeling guilty and yelling at my daughter and then feeling guilty, and that if I stayed in this loop, I was never going to be happy. You know, ego patterns, they repeat themselves. So I realized that what I wanted to do was step outside of the loop. And so then I began to listen to Holy Spirit differently, more with awareness instead of with ego. And I began to notice my errors. And one big error for me was just a thought. That's all these errors are. It was just a thought, you know, that Jasmine was disrespecting me. And something in that infuriated me. When I would think that Jasmine was disrespecting me, I became infuriated. So that was my first awareness, that that thought alone was actually a problem. That thought alone, when I had that thought and believed that thought, I became infuriated. I then acted infuriated, and then the guilt and the entire cycle just repeated itself. So I began to look at that thought differently. And when that thought would come into my mind that Jasmine disrespected me, I could feel what I'm going to call a strong pull to believe that thought and to act out the way I've always acted out before. I could feel it, like an addiction. You guys understand addiction, right? And sometimes I would. Sometimes that thought would come into my mind. I would fall for that strong pull. Even though I was aware that this thought was the problem, I would fall for the strong pull. I would act the way I always acted before. But then when that happened, I would go into my bedroom, and instead of feeling guilty, I would begin to look with awareness, and notice that all I had done was repeat a pattern. And I would give my willingness not to repeat the pattern. And through this process of seeing myself repeat the pattern, noticing that me repeating the pattern was the problem, and giving my willingness not to, you know, something inside of me began to change. That's the miracle. And what began to happen then is that the thought would come into my mind, after some practice, the thought would come into my mind that she was disrespecting me. And now that ego pull to believe that thought and to act out the way I always did before wasn't quite as strong. And I began to be able to actually let go of the addiction of believing that thought. I began to be able to say, that is just a thought, and that thought is the cause of this whole problem. And I began to let go of that. Now, it took a little bit of effort at first. Like, I would have to practically do what I'm saying right here. I'd have to talk to myself within my own mind. Ah, there's that thought. I know what's going to happen if I buy into that thought, and I don't want that, right? That cycle doesn't make me happy. And I would have to let go of the thought. So yes, I had to do something. If I had just kept watching the cycle over and over again, I don't know that it would have ended. I had to make the choice to choose not to stay in that cycle. But then as I began to do that, what began to happen, and this again was like a miracle, as I repeated choosing not to believe that thought, then the next miracle that came was that I started to not see her literally as disrespecting me anymore. She might be acting the exact same way she always did, but now I saw her as just acting like a 7-year-old kid. Or now as I see her, just acting like a 13-year-old kid. I'm not personally offended. The personal offense has been taken out of it. And because the personal offense has been taken out of it, I do react to her differently. So it's something that occurred over time. Like Holy Spirit is saying in this message, it may take time for me to lead you. It occurred over time. The first step was seeing the error, but yet still being pulled into the cycle. And then afterwards, noticing what had happened. This is where the awareness came in. Noticing what was happened and giving my choice, giving my willingness to at some point not be pulled into that cycle anymore. Just continually giving my willingness not to believe that thought, not to believe that thought. Then at some point, the pull to believe the thought was not as strong. And I was able to, when I saw the thought, with a bit of effort, a bit of conscious choice, choose not to believe it. Choose not to believe it. Choose not to believe it. And then through that practice, the phase came where I really didn't believe it. I saw differently. So hopefully that answers your question, Lisa. And I did see another question up here from Silver Universe. Silver Universe says, I have a pet project. I am not upset, and I have accepted it is not real, and yet I don't want to live the end of my days in a pest-infected, oil-spilled pond. So what do I do with that? I insist it is going to take more than all this to support my brothers that cannot see the light, because I am not committed to living in a world where others are doing everything to destroy it. To be honest, Silver Universe, it sounds to me that you are not cleared on this yet. It sounds like there may still be some hidden grievance just by the words I'm reading here. And the interesting thing about hidden grievance is that as long as the ego is still in the way, we can't clearly know our guidance from Spirit. And Spirit does know everything we need to do, everything that is helpful for us to do. So the most important thing for us to do is to allow ourselves to see our hidden grievances, focus on releasing those, accepting the atonement for ourselves, and then allow Holy Spirit to guide us. And always allow Holy Spirit to guide us. Whenever we are guided from the little self as the doer, we are in error, and we are continuing the appearance that we are resisting. So it's really important. What Holy Spirit is teaching us is the truth. And we can accept it or not accept it. But the most helpful thing to all of us is that we accept it. I see Christian has her hand up. I see a couple more questions on the board, but I saw Christian's hand first. So I'm going to go to Christian.
Thank you, Regina. Well, I was listening to you talk about how you overcame your grievance against the role that Jasmine is playing in the dream. And it reminded me of something which I thought was a little unusual, so I thought it was worth sharing. So I lived with five 25-year-old men, young men. I don't have any children, but I live with five 25-year-old young men. I'm 44. And one moved in and started having parties till, I think, maybe 3 or 4 in the morning. I don't really know where it started. And then it extended till, he passed out at 3 o'clock in the morning, but his friends were wandering in and out of the building till 7 a.m. And so I was kept awake till 7 a.m. And on that occasion, I rang the police, and then I kind of decided I just wanted them to go away. I didn't want to get into an accusation of guilt. And so it built up, and finally there was a party till 9:30 in the morning. It was very, very loud music, and we're all There's six of us sharing a sort of 3 or 4 bedroom house, so we're all in very close quarters. So if somebody plays loud music all night, then everybody is awake all night. And I said, well, this is interesting. This is for my healing, actually, despite what I might think about it. So I've been through so many cycles of, you know, do you, something perhaps like that or a bit stronger happens, do you call the police? It's like the old question, do you take people to court? My answer to that is no, you don't. If you're a teacher of God, you don't take people to court. It is about the form, because taking people to court is an accusation. And so I realized, really, a teacher of God denies all forms of guilt. So if somebody plays loud music all night and keeps me awake all night, they're not guilty. Guilt doesn't exist. And the interesting thing was, I did mean it. I didn't want to be mad anymore. If guilt doesn't exist, then nobody's doing anything wrong by playing loud music all night. And the interesting thing was that when it got to 9:30 in the morning, I was not in the slightest bit tired. I can honestly tell you that it didn't feel like, yes, I'm aware of that, Teddy. It didn't feel, but a teacher of God denies all forms of guilt, so he'd never take anyone to court. I'm sorry. To take someone to court, that is an accusation before you've even started. And it is about the form. So it is about the form. You know, if my form goes out and says, what are you doing playing that music? I'm making guilt real. But the interesting thing was, I wasn't the slightest bit tired. I was woken up regularly all night and went back to sleep again and woke again. And finally, I think I was awake from 7 a.m. through the rest of the day. But I wasn't in the slightest bit tired. I wasn't in the slightest bit fed up. And I knew from the principle of the way that my mind-body system responded when I denied guilt, that it would be exactly the same with the crucifixion or any other trial. That the minute you see that anger is not justified, mainly because you're just dreaming, and there's no point in getting angry about anything in a dream because it can't affect you. You're the eternal, invulnerable Son of God himself. Just because you're having a dream about spinning around inside a washing machine doesn't make it real. And the minute you deny the guilt, there's no effect on the body at all. There's no effect on the body. And trust me, I'm a person who sleeps long hours of a night. I'm not someone who sleeps 2 or 3 hours. I don't know how many I sleep, but it's probably 8 to 10 every single night. So I'm not talking about somebody who usually goes without sleep. So I just wanted to share that. Thanks.
That's funny, Christian. I had a perception that you didn't sleep at all. It seems to me like all hours of the night, the day and night, I communicate with you, you know, in Pal Talk or something. So, wow, you sleep. That's pretty cool. Okay. Yeah. All right. Julia says, Regina, I completely and totally know what you are saying about willingness to see it differently. It is entirely possible to see it differently. I know it to be the truth. David is saying, Regina, in Awakenings on 11/18/08, you had an experience of what you described as eternity. You said time was a prison we made by believing we know. Is this the same? Yes, David, it is, really. Different, entirely different set of words, but yes. Yes, by believing the world, believing the past, believing our thoughts about the future, that's our hell, actually. And yeah, eternity, that moment of eternity that I experienced that day, I was completely free of everything. And it was so incredible. And it's nice that it was caught on tape as a live experience. I'm sure, as you know, I was able to describe it as I was experiencing it. But yeah, David, this is the same. And by the way, it's nice seeing you again, David. All right, so let me go back to the message. I think a few people have popped into the room since the last time I gave the link. So there's the link if anyone is interested. So the last paragraph that we read was the third paragraph from the bottom. Holy Spirit said, I must tell you that there is nothing wrong with how you see now. Okay? So even if we see 100% with ego, which I don't think is actually possible, but even if we see 99.9% with ego, it's okay. It's not making us happy. That's the cause of our suffering. But we're not guilty for it. So I must tell you that there is nothing wrong with how you see now. You need to know this, because the feeling of guilt leads you to cling to how you see. I describe that to a point within my cycle about Jasmine. Remember, I would feel guilty for being a bad mom and then just go right back into that loop. I think people who eat obsessively are very aware of that. You feel very guilty for the eating. You feel like a fat pig is the way I would describe it from my experience. And you go right into eating more. Maybe it's the same for like alcoholics and drug addicts. I haven't had that experience, so I don't know, but maybe it's the same. The feeling of guilt leads you to cling to how you see, or it leaves you stuck in the cycle. So it is important to know that we are innocent. It is important to know that we are not guilty, because that's the beginning of our release, literally. No matter what we do, no matter what we see, no matter how we feel, we are innocent. Okay? We're not guilty if we hate. We're not guilty if we scream at our children. We're not guilty if we eat everything in the refrigerator. We're not guilty if we got drunk again. We're not guilty. But those things are not making us happy either. What is it that we really want? Do we want to stay caught in those addictive cycles? Or do we want to be free? So I must tell you that there is nothing wrong with how you see now. You need to know this. Because the feeling of guilt leads you to cling to how you see. You are perfectly innocent in this moment. I ask you to trust me on this fact. You ask if the world looks different when you are awake, or if the awakened one simply doesn't see the atrocities anymore. As long as you walk in the world, the body's eyes will show you what the body's eyes see. But you will have a completely different understanding about what you see. This will enable you to be most helpful, because you will not be confused and you will know what to do in any given situation. Danielle and I were talking about this kind of today. I was talking about being in the flow of knowing, you know, that when there's just no ego in the way, there's just a knowing of what to do. I just know. When ego gets in the way, that flow of knowing is blocked. And that's when we begin to think about, begin to analyze, begin to feel confused, begin to get upset, because the flow of knowing is blocked. This is another reason why we really want to discover ego in our own mind, even with our pet projects. Discover ego in our own mind and let go of ego, because ego is blocking that flow of knowing that makes us most helpful. It's in the way. It's an obstacle to love's presence. So if we accept the atonement for ourself, let go of ego, and become a part of that flow of knowing, which we might call listening to only one voice, then we know perfectly what to do in every situation. Let me look at the board here. Is there such a thing as proper justice in the world, or is proper justice further judgment? That was Bill Free speaking, I'm told. Gosh, Bill, proper justice in the world. My mind is saying the answer to that question is that it's always best for us to take our attention off of the world. Our attention is either focused on the world or our attention is focused inward, on the heart, on Holy Spirit, inner guide, self. If our attention is focused inward, then we again are in that flow of knowing, and we always know what to do or say in the world, even if it's do or say nothing. But if we start focusing on the world, and believe it or not, even that question, is there such a thing as proper justice in the world? That kind of puts the focus outside. That's when we're going to start stepping into confusion. So probably the best answer is say, don't worry about that question. Throw that question out, really. Is there such thing as proper justice? Throw the question out. Don't even let the mind follow that question. Just stay with spirit now, always. That's all we have to do. Lisa says she never would have asked such a silly question. These two are playing together. That's a lot of fun. I'm glad you guys are having fun. All right. So let me go back then to the message. Next paragraph. So I'm going to read the last paragraph again and then move into the next paragraph. So the last paragraph was, you ask if the world looks different when you are awake, or if the awakened one simply doesn't see the atrocities anymore. As long as you walk in the world, the body's eyes will show you what the body's eyes see. But you will have a completely different understanding about what you see. This will enable you to be most helpful, because you will not be confused and you will know what to do in any given situation. Ego is out of the way. For now, I ask you to continue to take the little steps you are taking now. For these little steps are much, much bigger than you realize. Continue to notice that you are judging, and be completely willing to see that you are wrong. So this is what Bill, Lisa, since I know he's sitting right there with you, this is what Bill would call awareness. Continue to notice. Notice. This is awareness. Noticing what the mind is doing. Notice. Notice. Continue to notice that you are judging. But again, what do we want to do with what we notice? Notice the second half of the sentence. And be completely willing to see that you are wrong. Okay, so here he's talking specifically about her judgment of the atrocities of the world. So he's asking her to notice that her mind is judging. Notice. Notice your mind is judging. Notice your mind is judging. And really, that's an inward focus, because before, she was judging. But she was believing she was absolutely correct. In fact, she said, it's not even judgment. It's just a fact. It's not even judgment that these things are bad. This is just a fact. And Holy Spirit's taken her away from that point of view and asking her to notice that her mind is judging. Her mind is saying this is bad. Her mind is saying this is horrible. And then he's asking her to give her willingness to see differently. So we become aware of what the ego is doing in our mind. And then we give our willingness to see differently. Just like I became aware that believing the thought that Jasmine disrespected me was the cause of that entire cycle. And then I gave my willingness to see differently. And now I do see differently. So for now, I ask you to continue to take the little steps you are taking now, for these little steps are much, much bigger than you realize. Continue to notice that you are judging, and be completely willing to see that you are wrong. Follow your inner intuition on the path of spiritual seeking. I will lead you on the path that is best for you. Give me your trust and your patience. And give trust and patience to yourself and your world. Notice how that's different than judgment. Give me your trust and patience, Holy Spirit says. But then Holy Spirit says, give trust and patience to yourself and give trust and patience to your world. Trust and patience. That's a lot different than judgment. Give it trust and patience. In this way, you will be led to discover the answers that you seek, and your gratitude will be unending. And I have a note here that says, see also message 15. I bet you a dollar. Anybody want to bet me? I bet you it's the message called, what's the name of that message? The ego is not the devil. Shall we go see? The ego is not the devil. I bet you that's what it is, because as I was reading this, I was being reminded of that message. So why don't we all go there? I just gave you a link. And let's look at these two messages together. Yep, the ego is not the devil. Don't think I'll bet, Christian says. Yeah, we have 15 minutes left, and so I'll read this fairly carefully. Plus, I have taught it before, and it's perfectly aligned with everything that we have just read. This message, the ego is not the devil, is dated, I think it was February 13th, 2005. So again, very, very early on the spiritual path for me. A year and three quarters before the message that we just read about Is Attack Possible? Here's what Holy Spirit said to me in this message. This message, I believe, is the one that caught Phil Frisk's attention and eventually led to our relationship, I think. I mean, I could be wrong about that, but I think. Here we go. The ego is not the devil. It isn't a force outside of you that finds pleasure in deceiving you. It isn't anything to struggle against or to fear, although it can feel as if it is. So what this really tells you is that my state of mind at this time was that I was fighting against something that had some kind of reality, almost we may call it the ego, but still the idea was more like the devil. Something. I had to fight against something. And he's saying that's not true. He's saying the ego is not anything to struggle against or to fear, although he recognizes that that is how it feels sometimes when resistance is very high. He says the ego is a mistake that you believe in. Now, the message that we read earlier to you, which I said was the second message I ever got from Holy Spirit, that message said the world is an illusion. That message said the mistake is an illusion too. So the ego, which is the mistake, the belief in separation, which is the mistake, even that's an illusion. Literally nothing has happened. Literally. So the ego is a mistake that you believe in. The power of belief is undeniable. What you believe is real for you. Since you believe in separateness and attack, the world seems threatening to you. Funny that now we're listening to a message, is attack possible, and we're being taught it's not. Okay? And here he says that if as long as we believe in attack, that's the world we're going to continue to see. You see how it's a cycle. It's a cycle. We believe these things, we get upset about these things, those things continue to appear. And we need to step outside of this cycle, just like I had to step outside of my cycle with my daughter about believing she was disrespecting me. That's a little example of what we all need to do at what I'm going to call the world level, the macro level. We need to step outside of the cycle of believing the world. So the power of belief is undeniable. What you believe is real for you. Since you believe in separateness and attack, the world seems threatening to you. That is what you believe, that is what you experience, and that is what you fear. The experience of a threatening world seems real to you, and I don't ask you to deny that seeming reality. It's the same thing he just said in this message. I don't ask you to deny what you think you see. I don't ask you to step in front of a moving car and trust that it will not hit you, because it may. It would be dependent on the alertness and reaction of the driver behind the wheel. In this way, the world is real. What I ask you to understand is that the reality comes from the belief It's a matter of cause and effect. The world is the reflection of our mind. Because we believe it is real, we experience it that way. It's the mind that needs to change. What I ask you to understand is that the reality comes from the belief. The belief is the cause of all that you experience. You make the world you experience. Now you may ask, if I change my belief about the world, will I see no more sickness, no more war, and no more threat? I've answered this for you before in many ways, but I will put the answers together for you now so you may see what seems to be pieces as a whole. You are not an individual. Everyone that you experience in the world is a part of you. You are aspects of one mind. When I say that the world you experience is made by you, I am not referring to you as an individual. That would indicate that separateness is truth. When I say that the world you experience is made by you, I am referring to all aspects of the mind that believe in separateness. As one aspect of the mind lets go of the belief in separateness, more light is brought into the whole mind. What he's describing now is how we are literally most helpful. By accepting the atonement for ourself, we bring more light into our one shared mind, which then becomes helpful to our brothers in at least recognizing their desire to begin on that same path of accepting the atonement for their self. This is the solution. This is the answer, awakening. And by awakening, we help increase awakening. So as one aspect of the mind lets go of the belief in separateness, more light is brought into the whole mind. It helps to rouse the sonship. But as the sonship continues to sleep, nightmares of separateness continue in the world. So if what we call Regina would awaken today, that doesn't mean all war would stop in the world. Because the mind as a whole has not yet fully awakened. We are in the awakening, the great crusade, as Jesus called it in A Course in Miracles. We are a part of the awakening, but the awakening is not complete until every aspect of the sonship is complete. When I indicate that what you will see will change, the word see and the word perceive are synonymous. As long as you see a world, you perceive. That's why the Course calls it true perception. It still calls it perception, right? As long as you see a world, you perceive. I am not saying that a violent crime could occur around you and that others would see it and you would not. The body's eyes will continue to show you the seeming actions within the world of illusion. When I say you will see differently, I mean that you will perceive differently, or to be more clear, that you will feel differently about what you see. Your perspective will be different. Your feelings will be different, and therefore your action will be different. Remember the story of Jesus and the adulteress. Jesus saw the men that were preparing to stone this woman. Sorry, I'm going to read that again. My mouth really got lost. Jesus saw the men that were preparing to stone this woman, and he saw a woman who had seemingly broken the laws of Moses. His eyes did not show him anything different, but Jesus did feel differently about what he saw. He saw the woman as innocent, and he saw the men as innocent. So he did not condemn the woman, and he did not condemn the men. He acted in a way that was consistent with his perception and caused a change of events. And if you remember that story, what he did was he actually showed the men that they were the same as the woman. Some people may say as guilty as her. They were also guilty. But what he really wanted to show is that everyone makes mistakes, we might say, or the way we might language it now is that everybody listens to the ego sometimes. She's no different. We're all the same. But he did it with an air of innocence. an air of innocence. He saw everyone as innocent, even though everyone was listening to the ego. And he showed they were all the same and there was no difference between them. And this changed the event, his perception of innocence. Peace Pilgrim also has many stories that demonstrate that her eyes showed seemingly dangerous situations, but her perception showed only a call for love. Because she consistently reacted with love, it caused a turn of events based on the introduction of light into the situation. He's really describing two examples of people who were in the flow of knowing. And even when faced with what appeared to be a dangerous situation for someone, their flow of knowing knew exactly what to do. They were most helpful because they were not confused by what they saw. They did not see guilt. They did not see attack. They did not see a bad guy and a good guy. Therefore, they were the most clear and the most helpful there. On what seems to be a micro level, an introduction of light into a seemingly dark situation can change the events as they were about to occur. This may appear to be a miracle of events, but it is not. It is light within an aspect of the mind, shining away darkness within the same mind, resulting in a change of form. In other words, the form is the reflection of what's happening in the mind. So when Peace Pilgrim, for example, was watching a little girl one day when some man showed up and it was apparent he was going to attack the little girl. And Peace Pilgrim went out there and she stood between the man and the little girl, but she just looked at the man with love. Just looked at him with love, remembering for him who he was. And he, although he clearly could have beaten the crap out of Peace Pilgrim too if he wanted to because she was a little old lady, he didn't. He turned and walked away. And what this is saying is that wasn't really anything that we would even credit Peace Pilgrim with. That was just light within the mind, shining within one mind and sparking light, sparking light, sparking light. And when light was sparked, it changed the appearance. It changed the reflection. It changed what was about to happen. The results seemed evidenced in form, as he says. The same miracle can occur on what seems to be a macro level. This may look different in the world of form. It may seem that it takes involvement from more individuals in order to introduce lasting peace into the international situation. But if you remember that there are no individuals, you will see that it is the same cause and effect. In other words, by awakening, as we awaken in groups, the reflection of the world will change because the reflection of the world comes from our mind. We all have heard this. The answer is not in changing the world. The answer is changing our mind about the world. And that is the answer with a capital A. The answer is to change our mind. Let ourselves be healed. If we let ourselves be healed, the reflection must change. It's actually logical. We just have to remember the law of cause and effect. I've told you before that your only responsibility is to accept the atonement for yourself. Now you must see how important it is that you let the light come into awareness in your mind. You must also see how you do this on behalf of all of your brothers. Light within the mind is light within the mind, and the entire mind benefits from the shining of that light. There can be no exceptions. So literally the most helpful thing we can do, the greatest gift we can give to the world, to our brothers, to the sonship, is to accept the atonement for ourselves, to let go of ego. That's the greatest gift we can give. And that should be our focus. And then as we do that, we will naturally be guided in whatever way is most helpful. But we're not concerned about the doing. If we're concerned about the doing, we're listening to ego. We're concerned. We're focused inward. We're concerned only about listening for the right voice, the Holy Spirit. That's our focus. It's an inward focus. The outward action will happen naturally as a result of that inward focus. As soon as we get focused on or worried about what to do on the outside, we've lost our inward focus. Now it says, I see that you are willing to do this for your brothers. I see that you are willing to let your perspective be changed from that of a seeming individual to oneness, but you are finding it difficult. You are experiencing fear, and you do not know what to believe. This is true. This was at a point in time when I wasn't sure if I should trust this voice in my head. I wasn't sure if it was real, if I should trust it. So he says, you are experiencing fear, and you do not know what to believe. You aren't certain what is truth and what is illusion. Even as you sit writing this with me, you wonder if you are making this up or if you are hearing the voice for God, and you don't know how to be sure. I will tell you how to be sure. I've told you this before. Pay attention to how you feel. Let the feelings of light guide you. Do what you are told to do while you feel those feelings. So when we're completely at peace, completely, do what we're told to do and trust it. When the feelings of darkness are upon you, take no action. If I'm in fear, if I'm angry, if I'm in grievance, if I'm in guilt, if I'm in unworthiness, take no action. Because at that time, the truth is the ego is at the lead in our mind, and probably any action that we are being guided to take is literally the guidance of the ego. If we are feeling fearful, guilty, unworthy, hatred, anger, defensiveness, I'll continue, but I'll stop. If those are our overwhelming emotions, ego's got the lead. We don't really want to listen to our mind in that moment. When the feelings of darkness are upon you, take no action. Spend that time giving the feelings over to me. This is an opportunity to practice forgiveness. If you act with the light when in peace, and refrain from acting with the darkness when you're not at peace, you will be acting in accordance with truth and light, and you will be moving steadily along the path to enlightenment or awakening. Know also that the end of this path is certain, and enlightenment is a reasonable goal, since it is the only goal that can truly be obtained. However, don't crave the goal so much that it becomes an individual desire. If I want to be the enlightened one, right, then I've slipped into ego, spiritual ego we call it. So don't crave the goal so much that it becomes an individual desire. That will delay the result, since the cause of enlightenment can never be the desire to attain for the individual. And then the message ends, the ego is nothing but a belief in your mind. When the belief is gone, you will see that ego was nothing. So, a couple of different messages tonight that are really saying the same thing, asking us to focus inward, not be concerned outward. And then if we're focused inward and our only purpose is awakening or accepting the atonement for ourselves, our only purpose is knowing the difference between ego and Holy Spirit in our mind and choosing not to listen to ego and always listen to Holy Spirit. If that's our only purpose, that's our only focus, inward, 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 we will always be guided perfectly. We don't need to worry about the outside. As soon as we start worrying about the outside, our attention is being pulled towards ego. So it's a clear and simple message, and it seems to be actually very much in alignment with the prayer at the beginning of the hour where I asked Holy Spirit to help me to become more refined in that practice of recognizing ego in my mind so that I could not listen to it. Because again, when we don't know that it's ego, we are accidentally listening to it. So becoming more and more aware of ego is a part of our practice. Not aware with judgment, but aware with clarity. Aware so that we can choose again. Thank you, everyone. I'll see you on Wednesday. Bye.